भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 25 द पायव्रत प्रोसेस ऑफ वर्शिप। फाल्गुनस्य माले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पायो व्रतम् आचार्येत् अरविन्दक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। फाल्गुनस्य माले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पायो व्रतम् अर्चयत् अरविन्दक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। फाल्गुनश्यामले पक्ष्ये द्वादशाहं पयो व्रतम् अर्चयत् अरविन्दक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। फाल्गुनस्य माले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पयो व्रतम् अर्चयत् अरविन्दक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। फाल्गुनश्यामले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पयो व्रतम् अर्चयत् अरविन्दक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। फाल्गुनश्यामले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पयो व्रतम् अचयत् अरविन्दाक्षम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। फाल्गुनश्यामले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पयो व्रतम् अर्चयत् अरविन्दाक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। माताजीस् फाल्गुनव्रतम् अर्चयत् अरविन्दाक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। फाल्गुनश्यामले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पयो व्रतम् अर्चयत् अरविन्दाक्षाम् भक्त्या परमयान्वितः। Phagunasya. Of the month of Phaguna, February and March, Amale, during the bright, Pakshe, fortnight, Dvadasa Aham, for 12 days, ending with Dvadasi, the day after Ekadasi. Payavratam, accepting the vow of taking only milk. Archayet, one should worship. Aravindaksham, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktya, with devotion. Paramaya, unalloyed. Anvitaha, surcharged. Translation. In the bright fortnight of the month of Falguna, February and March, for 12 days, ending with Dwadasi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu with devotion means following Archana Marga. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smarnam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. One should install the deity of Lord Vishnu or Krishna and worship him nicely by dressing him, decorating him with flower garlands, and offering him all kinds of fruits, flowers, and cooked food nicely prepared with ghee, sugar, and grains. One should also offer a flame, incense, and so on while ringing a bell as prescribed. This is called worship of the Lord. Here it is recommended that one observe the vow of subsisting only by drinking milk. This is called payobrata. As we generally perform devotional service on Ekadasi by not eating grains, it is generally recommended that on Dwadasi, one not consume anything but milk. Payobrata, an archana devotional service to the Supreme Lord, should be performed with a pure devotional attitude, bhaktya. Without bhakti, one cannot worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktya mama mijanati yovanyas chasmi tatvataha. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be directly connected with him, knowing what he wants to eat and how he is satisfied, one must take to the process of bhakti. As recommended here also, bhaktya paramayanvitaha. One should be surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. Falguna siyamale pakshe dvadasakam payobratam archayat aravindaksham bhaktya paramayanvitaha. In the bright fortnight of the month of Falguna, February and March, for 12 days, ending with Dwadasi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to his lotus feet. So here we can see devotional service is transcendental to the modes of material nature. We don't follow some fad or vox populi. We follow the Shastra. Shastra Chakshus. A devotee is one who sees through the eyes of the Shastra. Of course, nowadays, it's very popular. Even former presidents have become vegan. And because, of course, they're torturing the animals to get the milk. In the time of Vedic literature, the animals weren't pained. They naturally give more milk than the calves can consume. That's a fact. Because by nature, and according to Vedic culture, ancient Vedic culture, we can't change it because of the way people think in 2014. ancient Vedic culture, the people would live harmoniously with the cows and all of the natural milk that is produced by the cow that is more than the calves can actually handle. Of course, the cows were not mistreated. Nowadays, we know that in the farms of Wisconsin and the big cow farms, cows are treated very terribly. All the animals are treated very harshly, and therefore, our Srila Prabhupada instructed us several times to build our own farm communities and have our own milk and ship the milk to all of our temples. So it isn't violent milk that comes from the violent farms where cows aren't really protected. They're given so much, what do you call, antibiotics and steroids in order to get them to produce more milk so that the farmers and the owners of these big farms can make more money. And we're drinking the steroids. And we're drinking the antibiotics. And some of us are wondering why people in America are getting sickly. It's actually very poisonous. It's not according to Vedas. Therefore, in some instances, obviously, if we can't get our own milk, they told Srila Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, the vitamin D that it says is in the store-bought milk, for the most part, is cod liver oil. And Prabhupada's response was, what can we do? It is Kali Yuga. But obviously, he wanted us to produce our own milk on our own farms very naturally. And in the old days, I remember, in the early days of the 70s, New Vrindavan, for I think about $50, would send you a big chunk of, what did they call that? Dried milk. It was, it wasn't even milk, it was dried milk. Huh? Some kind of powdered milk. But it was made from the cows on the farm in New Vrindavan. Unfortunately, our farms were not maintained enough to produce nonviolent cow milk. But here, the Payavrata vow that is being given by Kasyapa to his wife is 12 days until the Dwadasi to fast on just milk. And even Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, generally, Ekadasi, no grains and beans, and the Dwadasi, the day after Ekadasi, just drinking milk. Even Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we are Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami, he would just drink a pat of butter? Buttermilk. Once a day, just living very austerely. So one could say, in modern times, well, he wasn't a vegan, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. But the ancient philosophy is that we live symbiotically with the cows, the Brahmins, everyone living symbiotically. And that is there in nature. Of course, because of the grave violence that's being done to animals, there is a case, especially the grave violence that they perform against the cow. There is a case for veganism. But the deities must get milk sweets. And I know Srila Prabhupada instructed the young devotees to drink, what was it, one cup of hot milk every evening. Prabhupada gave the diet. You eat some khichdi in the morning, and they would give us 8 chickpeas. We'd get a wax paper in Seattle, 1973. I think Denver was the same. New York, same. They'd give you wax paper. They'd put one scoop of khichdi. They'd count out 8 chickpeas. Couldn't have 9. And don't just eat 7. 8 chickpeas. I wasn't sure where they got that. But the president said 8 chickpeas. And one slice of ginger. And because you're not a guru, you have to finish everything on your plate. Regular devotees don't leave remnants. So we were eating the 8 chickpeas, and we didn't, I don't think we consumed milk in the morning, but at night, you would drink hot milk, and someone would read the Krishna book. And if you wanted to give up your brahmachari and get married, then you could associate with one man and one woman and drink hot milk and read Krishna book. I don't know who would read and who would drink, because you can't drink and read at the same time, because you can't touch the Bhagavatam while you're drinking. Somehow or other. Maybe they hired a third person to read while they drank hot milk and read Krishna book. That was the, what do you call? Before a marriage, when you get together, the betrothing period. Hot milk and Krishna book. Very pure. So these things are given in Vedic culture, and they're meant, just like sometimes we look at sannyasis and we hear of sannyasis in the Vedic culture, and we hear of ISKCON sannyasis. There is a difference. Sannyas in the old days was very austere. Even sometimes, I think Varnaprastha especially, you wear tree bark and matted locks. Not as a fashion symbol, but tree bark and dreadlocks. What was it? It's called not dreaded locks. The tangled locks. Matted locks, which I guess is more or less dreadlocks of modern day, just not as well kept. So not as a fashion statement, but that was the austerity of the Vanaprastha. Of course, today, if you wore tree bark in Los Angeles, you might get arrested. You might get tased and thrown in prison for indecent exposure. And as far as living in the forest, very difficult these days, modern day. So there is the Vedic system, and there is the application in practical life. Our Vanaprasthas, once you have reached a certain age and finished with family life, children are grown, family life finished, husband and wife travel together to the holy places. Engage 100% in Krishna consciousness. This is the Vedic system. And we try to do our best, even in this Kali Yuga, the darkest of darkness. This Kali Yuga, Paranalpayusa Sabya, Koloas Min Yuga Jana, Manda Sumanda, Matayo Manda Bhagya, Hiyu Padruta. Sometimes the non-devotees, those a class of impersonalists, that say we're living in the Satya Yuga. But actually it is very clear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is not Satya Yuga. If this is Satya Yuga, I would hate to see Kali Yuga. Satya is the golden age. Treta Dwarpa Kali. Kali is the Iron Age. We are in the Iron Age, but is the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave us the opportunity for chanting and dancing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So it is a golden age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this is the Kali Yuga. Things have become extremely degraded. Things have become beyond degradation. We're not trying to be pessimistic. 5 o'clock, come to my house. Well, don't go to my house, go to Archita's. Turn on the news, 247-5911, any regular station, and you'll be shocked. This lady killed her baby. This man killed his wife. This policeman killed the kid. This kid killed a policeman. It is Kali Yuga. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hi upadruta. People are short-lived, misguided, quarrelsome, and always disturbed at trifles. So, Srila Prabhupada was establishing Krishna consciousness, the Vedic culture, devotional service, in the time of Kali, with the best of the Kali Yugites. We were born in this life, in this Kali Yuga, and trained very rigorously in our schools and by our parents to be expert Kali Yugites. In Japan, they have a saying, Gambaimasu. It's a greeting, actually. Gambaimasu. It means, I will try my hardest for sense gratification and for mental speculation. Gambaimasu. They greet each other. They teach the children, Gambaimasu, and they bow. I'll do my best in this material world. I'll make the best of this bad bargain. Gambaimasu. We were trained in the same way. I will try to enjoy to the 10th degree. I will make a very pleasurable life. And whose American parents weren't mad that you gave up your doctorate degree, you gave up your Midwest education, college education, Big Ten education, you gave up your chance for a nice job in the material world to become a Hare Krishna? I was headed for a banking career. I have a banking career. I go to the bank every day for BBT. My career is banking for Krishna. They wanted me to be like my uncle, the first vice president, Uncle Phil, the first vice president of the Continental Bank of Evanston, Illinois. He had a wonderful life, big condo in Evanston on the beach next to Northwestern University, beautiful children, beautiful wife, my aunt. So I was to train to be Junior Phil and go in the banking industry. Gumby Moss, try my hardest. Go to a good university, get good grades, graduate, and take up the business of the family or the extended family. But when junior year of college, I was coerced. I didn't want to really join the Hare Krishna movement. I saw the Hare Krishnas. We went to Detroit when I was 15 from Chicago, a few friends. And we saw actually Bhagavan and the devotees on Jefferson Street in Detroit. And we were so, inebriated with smoke that we walked into the temple and could not stop laughing. We were 15, 16 years old. And I have to admit to you, I was thrown out of the Hare Krishna temple and told, don't come back. We were just watching them sing and dance, and we couldn't stop laughing, me and my friend. They threw us out. We went in the car outside the temple and kept laughing. We couldn't stop laughing because we had never seen such a thing. Little did they know we'd come back. But I didn't want to come back. As Jhutakarma Prabhu was saying yesterday, or day before, that sometimes Krishna takes everything away. I was working, taking a year off of school and working in San Diego. And the young girl, 19-year-old, that I was with, I taught her how to chant and gave her the Prabhupada books that I had been given. And she got into Krishna consciousness more than me. She started to wear a sari, go to the temple. She wanted to chant all the time and be very spiritual. I was still thinking, make money, eventually become a banker, maybe marry this girl, but she shouldn't be so much into Krishna consciousness. And somehow or other, she was 19, I was 20, and she said, we have to join the temple. I can't stay with you unless we join the Hare Krishna movement. So I figured, okay, let's see if I have two different colored socks and different colored shoes. Because my opinion of Hare Krishna at that time, when I loved Prabhupada's books, and I loved Srila Prabhupada, but when devotees would come down the street, I would cross over to avoid them at all costs. So somehow or other, we ended up joining, and somehow or other, she ended up leaving. And Krishna had tricked me into joining the Hare Krishna. I thought, I have to join because she wants to join. Okay, fine. They sent me on Sankirtan. They made her pujari. I got really into it and absorbed and really had a great time performing Sankirtan. Met some wonderful devotees in Denver, the Becca brothers, and in all over the country, in Chicago and Minnesota, so many nice devotees. And then when we drove back, doing Sankirtan back to Seattle, the president told me, he called me in, he said, Sura, we were initiated after 4 weeks. because we gave a big donation, I think was the reason. He said, there's a lot of fish in the sea. There's a lot of grains of sand on the beach. And there's a lot of seeds in a mustard seed bag. I said, Sukadev, what are you talking about? And he looked at me and said again, there's a lot of grains of sand on the beach, grains of sand. There's a lot of fish in the sea, and there's a lot of mustard seeds in a mustard seed bag. He said it three times. And I said, could you please speak English for me? Your allegories are nice, but I don't understand. He said, oh, Patty, she left. He said, so we had to let her go because she was caught doing some nefarious activity in the temple. But we want you to stay. So then I understood the fish in the sea, grains of sand on the beach, and the mustard seeds in the bag. There's another saying nowadays, the bus stops every 10 minutes. Someone told me that one in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna makes the arrangement for us to engage in bhakti. And in the same way, Gambhai Maas, we have to try very hard to apply ourselves, do our best to engage in devotional service. Not laissez-faire, not, okay, fine, I'll clean the kitchen. No, Gambhai Maas, I'll do my best to serve Krishna. I'll do my best to engage in devotional service. Whatever is the order of the spiritual master, then we do our best to fulfill that order. We've said a few times, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sent to China. Ultimately, he did his best and made so many nice devotees in the country of China. Even he came back to Dallas one time. We were there just after Prabhupada had left the planet. And he said it wasn't hard to rename. He was Guru. I think you were there, Naikatma Prabhu. He said it wasn't hard to rename the devotees because one of the first men we met, his name was Yu Chan Ting. Yu Chan Ting. I think he named him Shravanam Kirtanam or something. Remember? Yu Chan Ting. He told the story. And we were all amazed. Chinese people becoming Hare Krishnas in the, not Hong Kong, but I think mainland China. So, we have to try our best and apply ourselves very seriously and sincerely. Be very serious and sincere in whatever service that we have under the guidance of the spiritual master. If it's cleaning the temple, performing the deity worship, preaching Krishna consciousness, managing the affairs of ISKCON, digging up the garden, taking care of the buildings, laying out the books. So many activities there are. Cooking. We try our best and become very serious and sincere. Just as the materialists are serious and sincere for sense gratification, we're just as serious and sincere for engaging in devotional service. And by utilizing that sincerity, Srila Prabhupada has said that that is the secret of devotional life. I think there's a verse, Vyavasiyatmika Buddhi Ekaha Kuru Nandana. Srila Prabhupada explains in that verse that he understood that by very seriously and sincerely engaging in devotional service, this is the secret of success in spiritual life. We don't have to make any more plans for sense gratification. That is coming automatically. We don't have to worry about sense gratification. Our worry is how to seriously and sincerely serve the spiritual master with great love and devotion. And then, even it's Kali Yuga. Even we're Kali Yugites, trained in a terrible way. The things we've done in our life, we can't talk about in front of the deities before we were devotees. The things that we've engaged in Kali Yuga, every one of us here, our family background, our school background, our young days before becoming Hare Krishna. Maybe you boys and girls from India, it's different. But us Westerners, trust me, it's unspeakable. Maybe I'm only talking for myself or a few of the other devotees here. But you know for yourself, if your life was unspeakable before the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and joining this Hare Krishna movement. But because it is Kali Yuga, it is excused if one is engaging seriously and sincerely in devotional service. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Haribol, nice class, sir. Thank you very much. One technical point. If you're a vegetarian like we are, and you give up milk for compassionate reasons, it does not make you a vegan. That a vegan is a completely different animal. They are completely opposed to any kind of animal product. Once we were in San Diego, this must have been 91, we had a Rath Yatra in the Balboa Park, and a whole gang of vegans descended on us. I mean, literally descended on us, and they took us on. It was going to be a war. Jayadwe Tamaraj was there, and he got in and tried to talk to them, and then he just told the devotees back off, because these guys will never change their mind. They are heavily opposed to any animal product. They don't care if it's ahimsa or whatever. You're not supposed to take no honey, nothing. These are the strict vegans. So to call yourself a vegan because you don't take milk on ahimsa, you know, you're not a vegan.
I've given up honey. You should give up maybe honey. Yeah, it's a whole philosophy. But Prabhupada said we're not even vegetarians. We're Krishnatarians. We don't follow vox populi. We don't follow the fad. We don't follow the popular lifestyle of the day in the magazines. We follow Krishna. We follow Srila Prabhupada. We're Krishnatarians. And whatever that is, you'll be served at breakfast and lunch, no dinner, or in Govinda's restaurant by Los Angeles, ISKCON, New Dwarka. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
It'll be on your plate.